Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
It is a good morning, Karen.
Why is it a good morning?
It's September. Oh. This is like my month.
Yeah, okay.
It's not my birthday month, by the way. It's just like September is my favorite.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Thanks. I love September too. I like the cool weather. And I like today's story.
Oh, great.
But not in a like, this is a feel-good kind of way.
Oh, great.
But that, but I'll say, Kelly, in the sense of helping somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And
we always get there.
Yes. And that I think there's just a ton in this for people to listen to, whether it's for themselves personally or whether it's for somebody else. So let's launch right in.
Okay.
And her name is Natty.
You're naming her.
Naming this person Natty never say their names. we always make them up. So it's Natty. And she asks me to channel her medium, and she wants her husband who's passed. And at the beginning of it, he says, I'm just going to give you just some simple things to say.
This is interesting. I'm going to interject already because some people have said, if you're on Instagram, wonderful. If you're not, there's some beautiful reels on there. Everyone's like, oh my God, it seems like she only gets people ahead of time.
Oh no.
And I'm like, no, this is like a snippet. This is like a sixth of her day.
Oh yeah.
There's tons of people that do not come through prior to the session. So you're saying you're in a session, someone asks for a particular person, and the husband comes through upon demand.
Yes. And that's okay. Actually the norm.
Yes.
Okay. So he starts and says to me, you just want basic facts. So we have four children between the two of us. And he said, they're ours. Like they're biologically ours. We've both only been married once. So I told Natty that. And she's like, yep.
For all you stuck up people, that's not everyone's situation.
Right. Yeah. It's normal. Or like that they're going to give us validations just for the human, the client, to say that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, we were married for a long time. And he says, we thought that I was going to die of a heart attack.
Hmm.
He said, and we spoke about it. And we were like trying to prepare ourselves for that, like in an emotional kind of way. And I said, why? I said, that's a good thing to say, but why? And he goes, well, partly, he says, because I had been diagnosed with a heart condition recently, but most importantly, because my father had died and my grandpa had died of heart conditions. And he says, so we just thought once I was diagnosed, we were positive. And I said, well, how did you die? He goes, I had a stroke. He goes, I didn't even have a heart attack. And he goes, so tell her that, because all of that is going to give her validations as well. So I told Natty that, and she said, yes. She goes, that's right. It was shocking. She says, we thought that we had time and that he was going to have corrective surgery. Yeah. So there was a conversation around, you know, the possibility that he might not, but still in the back of their mind thinking it probably will be a heart condition at some point. So then I said, okay, what else do you want to tell her? And he goes, well, he said, I wasn't nice to her. And I said, can you give me more information about not being nice? Yeah. He says, we weren't getting along. He says, and she would threaten to leave me. And he said, the first couple of times she threatened it, he said, I was scared out of my mind, so I cleaned up my shit. And then he said, probably on the fourth or fifth time that she threatened to leave, he said, I started to think, yeah, she didn't. He says, so I just kind of thought, yeah, we'll see. And he goes, and then she didn't. And he said, and then she threatened to leave again. And he thought, now I'm just annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, now I'm just annoyed that she's just threatening to leave. And he says, so it means nothing. And now she's pissing me off. And I said, okay. So I told Natty all of that. And she goes, oh, can you continue, please? And she says, I just want to hear what he has to say about it. So he keeps talking to me and he goes, I just felt angry. And he said, it made me feel like, well, if she's going to treat me like that, she's not respectful of me. So I'm not going to be respectful of her. And he said, but in all honesty, Karen, I was already not respectful of her. Like he said, but like, I was never going to admit that at that point.
It's tough. Like, and I'm not excusing anyone's behavior. It's just that you have someone who's disrespectful in maybe a covert way and, you know, multiple covert ways. And that sucks. And that's enough to not want to stay in a relationship. And then you get someone who, I'll say, ups the ante with very big threats, i.e. leaving. And that's disrespectful all on its own, in the sense that you have no intention to follow through. So now you're using empty threats as a form of control in your relationship. And it's just like, yeah, okay, I guess we're just doing this dance of disrespect. So it's like both of you are kind of on the same level of being mean. Both of you are kind of on the same level, and it's not a chicken or an egg situation. It doesn't matter which one came first. You're at where you're at. And both of you need to clean up your shit.
And neither of them were willing to see it.
Which?
They were like that they were both being disrespectful. So he pointed to her and she pointed to him. And then he said, and then he went off to tell friends about it. So he would say, well, you know, she's threatened to leave me. And friends at first were like, what? And they took it very seriously. And they really were concerned and they really wanted to get in there and be supportive. And how can we help you?
Curious, in what way? I'm curious in what way. Supportive of who? How to help and get better? Or how to get out because this woman is threatening to leave you.
Get out.
Yeah, okay.
Because this woman is threatening to leave you. Mm-hmm. And now as he's repeating the threats, they're seeing that as the abuse. Mm-hmm. So they're all of the friends, including hers, because he's telling her friends.
That's fucked up too, but okay.
Yeah. So he's saying, because when her friends confront him about his behavior, he's like, well, she's threatened to leave me. And so everything gets twisted and set in one course of direction here, where people that were her friends and that she brought to the relationship with are now all on his side because she's got these empty threats of, I'm going to leave you. And so everybody's kind of coaching him like she's crazy. She's this, she's that, she's nuts. And so she ends up feeling isolated. And when I said that to Natty in the session, she looked at me and she went, well, this explains a ton. And she goes, and I want to sit here and be mad at him. And she says, and yet I find myself sitting here listening to it the way that you're saying it. And I totally understand it.
Nice.
And she goes, oh my God, I created my own damn mess.
Yeah. And even, okay, if we do play chicken or egg, let's say he was unhealthy first, and I'm putting this in quotations.
Mm-hmm.
You can be mad at that. That's fair. You just can't make a threat that you don't intend to follow through on, right? So yes, you can be mad at his original behavior or continued behavior, but at some point you've got to look at your own behavior and figure out, like, am I proud with the way I'm behaving? Mm-hmm. Is this actually how I want to be?
Right.
And now, okay, maybe I'm actually a little more angry at myself.
She only got to that point, Kelly, right there in the session, when she heard me channeling her husband and the way that he was wording it to her. Mm-hmm. That was her first, and she said it right in the session, that was her first moment of, oh God. And that's why she said, oh, when I first started listening to this and when I think about what he's done and I think about what my friends have said that he has said, she says, I've been angry at him. I'm making all of the problems in this relationship about his behavior. And she says, and justifiably so for some things. And she said, but now that I'm listening to this, she said, not all of it. Mm-hmm. She says, I see where... since he's died, but even before that, but in particular, since he's passed at his funeral and in the days and weeks afterwards, how all of her, even her own friends have been behaving towards her during the funeral, where she has felt hurt by it. And now she's like, I called you and booked this appointment because I wanted to know why. I wanted the question, why is, and she says, I literally have a piece of paper here with a list of names on it with the question, why at the top, and all my friends and family members, and even some coworkers, like all kinds of people, like why they're treating me the way they're treating me. And I've even written down the way that they're treating me to make sure that if you ask me questions, I could be able to identify it for you. And she says, now I don't even need the damn list because I can literally tick it all off with what you've just said. Mm-hmm. Because the consistency is that I was threatening all of the time with, like you said, no follow through. And that became abusive. And he told everybody that, and everybody now sees that as the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's exactly right. She goes, okay, so now I'm mad at myself. And she says, but can you go on and keep channeling him, please? I still would like to hear from him. And I said, okay. So I went back to her husband. I said, what else do you want to tell her? And he said, no. He says, I did things like I walked around saying I do what I want when I want. And when I repeated that to Natty, she looked at me and she went, okay. She goes, not that I feel this way, Karen, but if I ever thought or doubted for a moment that you were talking to my husband and listening to him, she goes, that expression right there, I do what I want when I want, came out of my husband's mouth not once a week, not even once a day, but multiple times a day. And she says, all I ever wanted to do was to constantly confront him about why he was talking to me like that. And I said, oh yeah. I said, he keeps showing me like a post-it note with the word why on it. And she goes, yeah. She goes, can you ask him about that? And so I did. And he came back and he said, the word why is what kept her stuck in the relationship.
Always.
And he knew.
Always. All narcissists know this.
Yep.
You get stuck on why, and I get carte blanche for whatever the fuck I want to do because you'll just keep spinning to try and figure out why.
You did it. You just did it.
It's just like, remember how angry I used to get in high school when I had to write essays?
Yes.
And they would say it has to be 1,500 words. I'm like, why? I can summarize this in a sentence. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to reword it 85 times?
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, this is that. Mm-hmm. If you choose to get stuck on why, that's your own fucking trap.
Yes.
And they know that you're spinning in it and they're happy.
Oh, that's exactly what he said to her. You've nailed it on the head.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah. He just said, and I'm going to repeat it, because I have to say it's what he said to Natty, that he knew very quickly and early in the relationship that she was stuck on that. And she says to me, when? When did he know?
No. Oh, again, fucking irrelevant. Yeah. Unless you just want to be mad at yourself.
Yes.
And this is another thing I find just like, I don't know if you want to consider it like self-flagellation or something, but the people that stay with narcissists, and I mean, let's be honest, I think we can both lump ourselves in there.
Like, oh, yeah.
We're just so angry and upset with why they're doing what they're doing and so concerned with, but do they know? And they're all just different versions of the same question, right? Do they know? Why are they doing it? Do they know the motivation behind it? Mm-hmm. And it's like we just ruminate. Right? And we want to be mad at them, but then we think, but if I understand, I won't be mad. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, we're mad at ourselves, which by the way, I wanted to let people know, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. When you finally get mad at yourself instead of the narcissist, you'll do something.
Yeah.
And I know that's going to sound really backwards because for a lot of people, you have to get mad enough at the other person to leave, right? And that's good too, because anger, when it's healthy, is an action emotion, right? It pushes us into action. When you're with a narcissist, you have to get mad enough at yourself.
Yes. Yes.
But not sit there and ruminate in it.
So one of the things that he said to her is that she was always in emotional flooding, that she was always in an emotional state as she ruminated and built herself up into all of her feelings. got so stuck in feeling overwhelmed about all of her feelings, which could be about him or about the children, what he was doing, not doing, doesn't matter what it was about. It was that she was fixated on what her feelings were and staying immersed in them. And he said he saw her spin in confusion and just died laughing. Thought it was totally hilarious to see her emotional state rise. And then he'd just watch her to see when she went into the what we call rumination, meaning spinning in her own thoughts. And he thought that was funny because then it could, and he knew how to do it by just saying things like, mm-hmm. I do what I want when I want. Mm-hmm. He knew there were certain phrases that triggered her into that process. And that he enjoyed that because then while she was busy.
He bought himself time.
Yes. It gave him time to golf, video game.
Do what he wants.
Yeah. Do whatever it was that he wants.
This is disgusting.
Yeah. So, and he said, like, you know, he said, you know, Karen, I was also like a good dad. I went to the games. I coached. I did some good things. And he says, I knew exactly the minimum that I had to give to be considered a good dad. And that was just a little bit more than her father. Mm-hmm. He said, so I just listened to the bare ass minimum that her dad did. And I made sure that I just did that and a little bit more so that I was considered better than her father. And as long as I was maintaining that, I had the free ride for everything else.
Imagine, like, I don't even understand. The whole parenting thing just gets me. Because, like, if you're just going to sit there with my partner and mm-hmm. say, but he's a good dad, like, that's his relationship with someone else. Mm-hmm. That's not his relationship with you. It's like mm-hmm. if I said to you,
right.
you know, oh, but he's a good neighbor to the people across the street from us. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck cares? Mm-hmm. He's not being good to you. Mm-hmm. How is that? How are you taught to look over there to evaluate if you should be happy?
Many people are. Sadly. Which is just more abuse. Mm-hmm. So she heard that. She got to hear all of this. And she sat there. And she just went, yeah. She says, this makes sense if I sit here trying to place it. And she goes, Karen, this is helpful because the clarity is helping me put my puzzle pieces together. And she says, but I'm also now trying to be more aware that even though I'm getting these answers, it's not like I feel any better. She says, but it feels, how can, like there's a fog lifting off of my brain. She says, I feel like my whole marriage has been in a fog.
Okay, let's affirm it. Excuse me. That was so dramatic. I just needed to clear my throat. Narcissists are mm-hmm. going to create emotional blackmail, right? Through all mm-hmm. the things that he's talking about, liking to make her confused, making her feel down on herself, etc. Yeah. Creates fear, obligation, guilt. Emotional blackmail, that is literally the acronym for FOG. Mm-hmm. She's not wrong. She's articulating exactly what she's been through in her relationship. And once you can actually see clearly what it is, the fog lifts.
Yes.
Susan? Instead of asking why, right?
Yes.
Once you understand it's fear, obligation, and guilt, you don't get muddied in the question why anymore. You let the fog lift and you go do the shit that you need to do.
Exactly.
Which is usually divorce papers.
Yes. Kelly, this was the book Emotional Blackmail, right? With Susan Forward, mm-hmm. For people listening, looking for the resource. Mm-hmm. So she got that. She got the resource. And then she looked at me and she goes, well, he's dead.
Okay. You still have a history of being entrapped by narcissists. You should probably know what that pattern looks like so you don't get trapped with a narc kid, a narc friend, sibling, whoever.
Exactly.
You're not free because they're dead. They're everywhere.
Exactly. So the guide spoke to her at that point and said, yes, but these are your patterns. This is your lack of education, your lack of emotional intelligence, your emotional flooding, your emotional dysregulation. And they just literally went through and said your, and then gave her a list. And she sat there and looked at me and went.
Yeah, I'm going to reword this. Okay. It's like if I got an infection from another person, because it was just transmitted, let's say, by touch, that person died. And I'm like, oh, I should be fine. They're dead. No, you still need to treat the infection in your body.
I like the analogy, Kelly.
Thank you.
Because it is laughable.
Yeah, but it's also like, ah, fuck.
That's yes. Right. And it is a reality check. Hmm. Because many of us would, like you said, and he's dead, but we could replace that with, and he's my ex.
Yeah, true. But also, like, many people have an ex that's very present in their life. We're trying to illustrate that even when they're dead and buried or cremated, you still have an infection.
Right. I just want people to also think in that way, even if they're not the partner that they're done with is not dead, because many people think, well, he's my ex and I've moved on.
Oh, you can say they're no contact. We live in different continents or whatever. Like, yeah. It's irrelevant.
Right. Yeah. I like how you're saying that it's within yourself. And she just sat there and Natty said to me, oh boy. She says, that's harsh. She goes, but it's good because it's, I believe, what I came for that I didn't know I had come here for.
100%. And I'm going to be in Natty's corner here. Like, everything has to be harsh when you're dealing with narcs, right? What you need to hear has to be harsh because you've been so conditioned to live in a place of empathy, which is your why question, right? Or the do they know question. Your empathy is your weakness. So you need to hear the facts very harshly for you to be able to snap out of the fog itself. If someone delivers it to you kindly, you'll stay. You'll contemplate. You'll think about it. You'll try and piece things together. Like, we need a swift kick from someone who is going to love us and stabilize us again when that information destabilizes us.
Yes. Yes. And then I think you've said it and I'm re-saying it. The guides talk to her about her escapism into empathy. Mm-hmm. And her avoidant patterns of where she avoids reality and immerses herself in empathy. Mm-hmm. For him, his upbringing, all that kind of stuff, so she didn't have to face her own reality. Mm-hmm. And that she used it, and I'll say in some things on social media that the guide spoke to her about separately, where she was researching empathy and empaths and, you know, how to be kind to herself and gentle okay. to herself.
Okay,
and,
here we go.
Yes.
If you live with or love a narc, okay, empathy is always going to be your weakness.
Yeah.
It will be the thing that allows you to stay. Mm-hmm. You will call yourself an empath when what you are doing is severe codependency.
Yes.
Being an empath does not mean that you are sad and depressed and avoiding your actual reality. That's what people who are with narcs are experiencing.
Yeah.
Your overwhelming feelings, your emotional flooding mm-hmm. is not you being an empath.
Kelly, we had to have such an in-depth conversation around separating that mm-hmm. together in her session, where I had to say, okay, can we take a time out in terms of pure channeling and sit here? And are you okay with giving you some resources and my knowledge? Are mm-hmm. you open to my knowledge? And she said, absolutely. So with that permission, I sat there and gave her resources, and I sat there and explained as you are doing for listeners today, so that she could sit and understand and go, okay, what is emotional flooding? What is, and what's the difference between, and why am I? And I had to say, in a healthy relationship, a healthy person would not tolerate the narcissism and the narc behavior. There would be boundaries. There would be expectations, consequences that are followed through on. Mm-hmm. And codependency is the exact opposite of all of that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that took some time in her session.
Yeah. So many people don't understand the difference between the fact that they have developed hypersensitivity.
Yes.
Because they are living with narcs and yes. have to be hypervigilant. And don't get me wrong, it's a superpower in the sense that you have developed a mechanism of survival.
Yes.
But it correct. Is not the same as being an empath.
Exactly. And she wanted me literally to split hairs between the two because she really badly wanted to believe that she was a really, I don't know what the right term is, like a highly sensitive empath.
Mm-hmm.
And she was classifying herself as such and telling everybody that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was excusing away her behaviors.
Okay, so let's spell this out because some people are going to be like, well, fuck, that's me. Like, what are you trying to say? If you're an empath, you're not going to stay with the narcissist because you are going to understand how that affects your actual energies, mm-hmm. how it affects your overall ability to function. You will get the fuck out and you will take good care of yourself yeah. at the first opportunity, right? Or of your awakening, let's say, to actually care for that part of you. The person who is extremely codependent and is just in the hypersensitivity of it all will label themselves as an empath and use it as an excuse to stay.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Which is what she was doing. And by the end of her session, she was coming to understand that there actually was a separation in the two. And that we were able to have her understand that she was on the other side. And so at the end of the conversation, she says to me, so I'm not actually an empath, I'm codependent.
Correct.
And I said, that's right.
Good job.
That's right, Natty. And I said, you might become an empath someday,
mm-hmm.
but currently you are hypersensitive to narcissism and you are extremely codependent to the point of staying in this relationship till your husband actually died of the stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, well, that is not what I was expecting when I booked the session.
Not many people do. Although I've had so many discovery calls since all of the Instagram stuff where people have flat out said, I need my ass kicked. And it's this is fun. And I mean that genuinely because it's like, I feel like people are getting ready and are in a much different place to say like, okay, kick me in the butt, wake me up and like, let's get there together. And I think that's really, really wonderful.
Me too, because I'm glad for you because you're doing the coaching part. And I'm glad for the spirit guides because they're giving me the tools. And I'll say it's taken me 62 years to get all of the tools, doing all of the reading as well. And the educational piece that helps me understand all of this, which I cannot separate from the channeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do the channeling and be totally ready for it and deliver that. And I can also be ready for people like Natty that say, wait a minute, can we take a time out and can you answer a question?
Mm-hmm.
I am never going to cross another line and do coaching or do therapy because I'm not qualified to coach or for therapy. So I know where my parameters and my boundaries are, and I am so good to stay within those walls and do my job to the best of my ability and then have people like Natty go out and into the right direction to become healthier people
mm-hmm.
for themselves. And then wherever that means, because we know it can mean parenting and all the other roles we play in life, but for her personally. So at the end of Natty's session, she just says to me, is Kelly free?
Oh, shit.
And I said, what do you mean? She goes like, could you just bring her on the line so that I could book an appointment with her? Like, is she just like back in the kitchen? And I said, no, Natty. I said, she's upstairs working, but you can certainly go online and book. And then she just simply said, I don't really know how to do this next piece. She said, I want to thank you. She said, because I do have a couple of friends. And she says, probably now when I really think about it later today, more friends than I was willing to realize who approached me when my husband first started saying these things that came up to me and said, you can't threaten to leave and not leave.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to go bad for you. And she says, and I didn't listen to them and I just kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I've lost those friends. I've watched them become either not friends of either of us or his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I was really angry about that, but now I can understand the thinking and some of the processing that they went through. And I couldn't before this call. So I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then her, did you want to say something?
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. Like, narcs will show their hand, right? And it's, it can be, I should say, easier to be around them because you know what you're going to get. Yes, they're superficial, but if he's walking around saying, I do what I want when I want, he's telling you exactly who he is. So when you walk into that company, you know you're getting the lack of empathy, the grandiosity, right? Like all the different things that, you know, are the pillars of narcissism. Mm-hmm. Versus when you walk up to the average person and they say, yeah, I'm leaving, and they don't, you're like, I don't really know who you are and where you're at.
Mm-hmm. And I don't trust you because of
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And I'm not listening anymore. I'm bored.
Exactly. Yes.
And I'm tired and I'm irritated with this conversation because we just go in cycles.
Yeah. And it sounds like you like it because you don't want to do anything about it. So bye.
Yes.
Right? And if you can enjoy the narc for who they are, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Or like you said, some will leave altogether because it's like, if I really was your friend, that is unbearable to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of people, leave friends who are with narcissists because it is unbearable to watch, right? And it's just like they don't leave from a lack of empathy. They leave because the empathy is hurting so much, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you did a beautiful job for her.
Thank you.
My favorite discovery calls now are the ones that book and just say, I saw Karen. Oh, okay. This will be fun.
I love the fact that the universe like is all part of this.
Yeah.
And is orchestrating it. Through the pure love for the human being. Mm-hmm. That's the thing for me.
Yeah. And like Natty said, I don't know how to do this next part. No, you're not supposed to. When you've endured the trauma of a narcissist, you don't know how to do the next part and you need a whole team. Mm-hmm. And that team should be well equipped to help you put one foot in front of the other until you know how to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. That is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. It's good. That's how our session ended, Kelly. Just her picking up her resources and saying her thank yous and getting some clarity from her husband. Oh, by the way, you know, people are probably waiting to hear, did he ever apologize? He did. I never said that in this entire, in recanting this because we went down some rabbit holes, but he did apologize to her. He did say that only in death could he see the maliciousness of what he did, mm-hmm. and where his insecurities were underneath all that maliciousness and his vulnerabilities and his avoidance and hers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.